Hello and welcome to Full Access Hoops, episode 16. I'm your host, Corey Waldron. With me on this podcast is Brian Mooney. Here, but like not fully here, but like in the room is the producer, the also another co-host, Nigel Freeman.
Yo!
So what's going on, boys?
You know, basketball shit.
Yeah, we played full court today. Nigel hit the first three of the game. I hit the second three of the game for our team, and we didn't score the rest of the game. But we played hard, all right? I had to guard against a 6'4 guy, and I'm only 6 foot. But, you know, we were working.
Well, yeah, I locked him up that one time.
Yeah, you did. You came over on some help defense with a little steal. He had no handles. We lost the game, so that's all that matters. So, obviously, the playoffs are rocking and loading. But there's a topic that happened off the court today that I don't believe Brian even knows about. I think Nigel knows because I told him. And apparently there was a post on Instagram where someone was saying the problem in OKC was Russell Westbrook.
Oh, get the fuck.
And Kevin Durant liked the comment.
Oh, so dumb.
And then today, reporter asked Kevin Durant, you know, about liking the comment. And Kevin Durant said, nah, no story there. It was an act and I didn't mean to like it. Now we know, as we've talked about in the past, Kevin Durant had the multiple Twitter accounts.
He's the social media habits of a 15-year-old girl.
Right. And he's liked comments before about bashing Westbrook. How many times do you accidentally like the same type of comment?
I mean, how much better does this shit have to go for him? Like, get over it. You fucking got what you wanted. It's not like you're not one of the best players in the NBA. Some people would say he's the best.
Right. No, I mean, I think without question he's top three.
Yeah.
I think he's cemented himself. Obviously, now he's an NBA champion, so he's got that under his belt. No one can say, you know, he's never won anything. And actually, that's the point you can make what you're going with. You know, he won.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You left Westbrook and you won your title.
What are you mad at?
Yeah.
If Westbrook was mad, there would be...
Well, Westbrook is salty to a degree still.
Yeah, there, I don't know.
Right, I think we all too... I mean, at least I do. Like, I hope that they play in the Western Conference Finals. Or I hope they play. Obviously, it's not going to happen because that's not how the standings work.
Yeah.
But, like, I still... Part of me would love to see a Thunder... Warrior series, even though it would last five games.
Yeah.
But you would see Westbrook...
Yeah.
You see Westbrook pissed off and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think what bothers me is the fact that Durant goes, you know, it's nothing, it was an accident. Like, dog,
we know
it's not an accident. There's no way you can be... I mean, I get you have big hands and you may press the wrong buttons, but...
Yeah, but he's got skinny fingers. He's really precise.
I just don't get how many times you can have a mess up like that where you hit the wrong thing and like a comment like that. So we had to talk about that. That just deserved some kind of shade.
He's a dick. He's just such a dick.
He's a cupcake, as Westbrook said last year. He's a certified cupcake. Obviously a phenomenal basketball player, but obviously because of all the Twitter stuff we saw, he's slightly weak mentally.
Hey, how do you still have self-esteem issues when you're that good at something and that rich?
I mean, that's a touchy subject because, like, you know, a lot of them have been coming out too this year with, like, depression. So, like, I mean, you still have the mental battles.
Depression's
different.
Yeah, I would say that.
Right.
I mean, just like...
For him, you're right. For him, it's more like...
How are you so outward about your... How do you act out... Like an emotionally unstable person.
Right. Like people say, you know, you suck and you're like, oh, I got to go on Twitter and defend myself on a different account. Like, no, dude, you don't have to. You won MVP.
Yeah.
You've won a title. Like, you don't have to defend your shit against anyone. You're just keep playing at this point. So that's going to wrap up our talk about the Kevin Durant saga and Westbrook saga. So we're talking about the next series, which is near and dear to my heart, obviously. The Indiana Pacers fell to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, 104-100. The Pacers were down by 10 at halftime. They managed to fight back, hold LeBron 3 points in the third, and they even took the lead in the fourth. But they were unable to really pull it home and win the game, obviously. There were some questionable calls late, a possible jump ball or two that could have gone the Pacers' way that didn't. And of course, Lance was doing a little bit too much at times. Victor Oladipo struggled, but the Pacers remained tough and in it. So I, You know, I think last night was the Pacers' best chance to win the series. Now that's 2-2 going back to Cleveland. I think the Cavs still win 7 like I initially predicted on the preview pod we did. But I think the Pacers had it. The Pacers had a chance to dethrone LeBron, knock him out of the playoffs. I think they're going to come up just short now.
I think you're right.
I think it's going 7 games.
Yeah, I do too. I still think it's Cavs in 7.
Yeah, I still think they'll get one, but there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way. Yeah. No.
I think, especially because, LeBron had, 3 points in the third. I think he had, 10 in the fourth. He started picking it up again. But he didn't sit down the entire second half.
Yeah.
He played every single minute. And we know LeBron has played tons of minutes already. I think he's averaging, 41.8 in this playoff series. So he's resting for an average of, 7 minutes, basically, or 6 minutes. But I think in game 5, they're going to come out and they're gonna try and send a message. They're at home. I do think the Pacers win game 6 back at home, yep. But I just don't think they win again on the road.
This really shows, if you took LeBron out and put any other superstar, I don't think...
Oh, Cleveland might not even make the playoffs if you take out LeBron.
There needs to be a new level after superstar.
Well, do you ever notice how it's not Pacers versus Cavs? It's kind of like Pacers versus LeBron.
Well, yeah, I mean
it's not like the Cavs need more help. It's LeBron needs more help.
Yeah.
The team is signified or identified as LeBron and pieces, not the Cavs.
Yeah, it's LeBron and friends.
Yeah, even the Warriors and the Rockets. It's not James Harden, it's the Rockets. It's the Rockets. Every single team has a team identity, but when you look at LeBron and the Cavs, it's LeBron.
Yeah, it's only him, even though it's not like there's a bunch of, randoms around him.
Right. Kevin Love, who has been, lackluster. Tristan Thompson finally played, but he didn't do anything special. George Hill didn't play because of back spasms. But he got help finally. For example, Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. He finished the game shooting 5 for 9 for 12 points, but he was 5 for 5 in the first half.
Okay.
So there's instant offense. And then in the second half, Kyle Korver came alive. Kyle Korver finished the game with 18 points, was 4 for 9 shooting, but all of his shots were threes. And he had some free throws.
His dynamic with LeBron is so... It's
crazy. Kyle Korver is the Ray Allen 2.0. to LeBron James. He loves having those guys. How many times when you watch the Cavs do you see Kyle Korver get a screen set for him and he runs off the screen and LeBron is instantly feeding him a pass that he's draining for a three? And all 4 of those threes last night, 2 of them came in the fourth quarter, but they all came at the most inopportune times for the Pacers. It was either right after a turnover, right after the no jump ball call. It was just, And then J.R. Smith hit a, three-quarters of the court shot to end the first half.
He seems to be more accurate with those than, a regular three.
It's what J.R. Smith trains on contested jumpers and half-court heaves.
Yeah.
And besides that, it's, you're going to get what you get.
It's so bizarre.
But, yeah, I think that was the Pacers' best chance. And that's nothing against, I'm obviously still a Pacers fan through and through. They fell apart slightly. The offense got a little stagnant. Miles Turner, I don't think, got used enough. In just 22 minutes, he had 17 points and 7 of 9 shooting. Obviously, he had some foul trouble, but I don't understand how certain guys can be so effective. For example, Miles Turner was 7 of 9 shooting. Sabonis was 9 for 12 shooting. Both guys played under 25 minutes.
Yeah, why?
Those guys should have been in the whole game just abusing the pick and roll down low.
It's a pivotal game.
Right, so that's something to me that sticks out. Obviously, Victor Oladipo has been terrible at home. He was 5 for 20 last night. He does things on the defensive end that kind of make up for his shitty offensive nights, but...
It's bizarre. It's weird to play shitty at
first,
home.
Right, yeah. He lit up the first 2 games. To his credit, the Cavs are trapping him. When Victor Oladipo catches the ball, he gets double teamed almost immediately. And obviously, when that happens, you have to adjust your play. And I guess we have to talk about the battle inside of the Pacers Cavs series, which is Lance versus LeBron. Lance was able to get LeBron a technical foul last night. He got up and close in the LeBron, and LeBron just flapped his arm. And of course, Lance flopped and fell. And post game, LeBron said, you know, he compared Lance to an elementary school. Like when your friend tells you the joke and you laugh and the teacher catches you laugh and you get in trouble. He goes, that's what it's like playing with Lance.
But I should know better. I should know better. I've been dealing with this since elementary. It's like I tell you a joke. You know, I tell you a joke and then you laugh and you get caught. That's what happened. Lance told me a joke. I laugh. Teacher caught me. Now I got to go see the principal. So that's what happened.
Nigel just scrolling through his Instagram. He just saw the video we're talking about. And obviously the video that you just heard, because the audio is also in the podcast.
Inception.
So yeah, that's been like an interesting battle, because like, you know, Lance is, even though LeBron doesn't pay any attention to Lance for some reason is one player who, for whatever reason, does in fact get underneath LeBron's skin.
I mean, persistence. You know, it's like you can brush off a guy that's pissing you off for one game, but this is a vendetta that's been, you know, it's just
they've seen each other so often. And you know, it's funny, the first LeBron ever contact, Lance was a bench player for the Pacers and he didn't even play, and LeBron was shooting free throws and Lance was on the bench doing the choke sign to LeBron, and that was like the start. Like Lance literally, I didn't even know who Lance was back then. Lance was just some guy on the bench, and I was like, what's this dude doing choke signs that LeBron had for?
He doesn't play.
And, you know, it was just the start. Like, if you had a chapter of LeBron versus Lance, that would be chapter one.
It's some people's, like, I mean, that's their thing. It's like, you know, it's, I don't know.
The enforcer.
It's like when they say, I've never been to prison, but I've heard that when you go to prison, you're supposed to, you know, pick a fight with the biggest guy. Which, you know, logically that doesn't make sense. But especially, you know, when you're comparing, if you're Lance Stephenson, you probably shouldn't
mess with LeBron because you're not going to, right.
Yeah, but that's just the way some people, I don't know, that's just the only way they know how to hype themselves up.
And then at the end of the game, I don't know if you saw the tie-up between Lance and Jeff Green, but there was an inbound and Lance grabbed the ball. And then initially I thought it should have been a jump ball. But Lance, you know, kind of wrapped up Green and then left his feet and brought Green down. And then Green, like, you know, pushed him on the chest. So initially when we were all watching, we thought it was going to be a personal foul on Jeff Green and then a jump ball. And they called it a technical on Lance, and then the game was officially over. So the series is tied 2-2. I know we're talking about the series is over. It is tied 2-2. I just believe the Cavs are going to be, you know, as I've mentioned this before, the Cavs have the best player, and I believe the Pacers are the better team. I just, you know, LeBron James is great, you know, and the NBA doesn't want to see LeBron exit in the first round. Take that what you will. There were some questionable calls, and I think that does play a factor in it. And you're looking at me like I'm, you know, crazy, but
I'm not looking at you like you're. It's just a sad reality. I don't really know. I guess enough about, you know, collusion in the NBA, but like that would just suck. That's just so dumb.
I mean, I don't think it's like blatant, but I don't know. I just feel like superstars, maybe it's just like the superstars get the more calls in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel that certain teams are, you know, the NBA doesn't, like, for example, do you think the NBA wants LeBron out of the playoffs in the first round?
Well, no, yeah. I mean,
and I think that matters, though.
In terms of ratings, yeah.
Right, and I think to a degree it does matter, because do people want to watch Pacers-Raptors in
the playoffs? But my thing with that is, like, how do you
dictate what's...
It's the same thing with any conspiracy theory. The guys in the boardroom don't want that. But how does that message eventually get down to the refs for that game, where they're like, you know, don't... You know, make sure that LeBron gets an easy way into the second round.
Right. I mean, I don't think they. You're right, because like, I don't want to say like, I don't want to bash.
There would have
refs.
Been a tell-all book by now. Is
right.
What I'm saying.
Right. Well, I mean, there was one ref who got caught because he used to bet on the games, and he would officiate games off the betting. His name was Billy something. It was a really big thing. It was recent too, like in the late 2000s.
What a dick.
And it was several referees, and obviously, like, I don't think refs fix games on purpose, or like at least not all of them. But I don't know. There's just things that happen. Like, it makes you wonder at least. Yeah. I don't want to accuse anyone, because like my dad's an umpire for baseball, and like I know my dad would never be, you know, lean one side or the other.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't want to be a ref in the playoffs. I'll tell you that much.
Right. I mean, obviously, every call is heightened because they all matter so much more. Anyways, any of the calls the Patriots got wrong, it didn't decide the outcome of the game. Victor Oladipo playing like complete shit. offensively, and Darren Collison struggling, those were the reasons why the Pacers lost. So moving on to a team that's playoffs are over, and that is the Portland Trail Blazers. None of us thought this was going to be over in four.
No
one predicted the Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday assassination of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. The hearts of Rip City were ripped out.
Shots fired.
I'm just going to read you Damian Lillard's playoff numbers for this first round. So in four games, because he was swept, he played 40 minutes per game. His fourth highest ever second highest ever in his playoff career. He shot 17.8 shots per game and shot 35% on those shots.
Damn.
Shot 30% from three. Had an effective field goal rating of 41.5. Had just 4.8 assists per game, 4.5 rebounds, and 4.0 turnovers, and averaged a career playoff low of 18.5 points per game.
That doesn't sound like a superstar, or an all-star, or any kind of star.
Nope. He had a negative box minus of minus 4.7, so the team was down by an average of 5 points, basically, with him on the floor. His PER was 9.1.
God.
9.1. Derrick Rose had a regular season PER than Damian Lillard in the playoffs. And actually, Derrick Rose has outplayed Damian Lillard in the playoffs so far, even, if you want to go that far.
Well, Derrick Rose is a former MVP.
All right, yes. Yes, let's relive the glory days. He's cooking right now in Minnesota against the Rockets. Obviously, defensively, James Harden is shooting 83% when guarded by Derrick Rose, and 40% when Jimmy Butler's on him. But Derrick Rose is scoring offensively. He actually was huge. 83%. Yeah, right. Let me get the ice on D. Rose.
D. Rose.
Man, Portland really disappointed.
How did CJ McCollum play?
He played all right. He was very cold the first three games. I think he dropped 38 in game four.
Too little too late there, right. CJ.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So, he doesn't get enough pressure put on him, I don't think.
Hey, CJ McCollum was really good in his playoffs. I didn't even realize. He shot 51% from the field, 42% from three, okay. Averaged 25.3 points per game. 3.5 assists. So, I mean, effective field goal rating of 59.1. So, yeah, he actually averaged career highs in the playoffs for almost every statistical category. And his PER was a lot better than his counterpart of Damian Lillard, 18.9. So, he pretty much doubled his PER.
I mean, I still stand by what I said. I don't think enough pressure is put on him. But...
And he had a positive box minus of 0.3. So he didn't finish in the negative, which is a solid whatever that is.
They are obviously two players that are in a higher echelon than their teammates. Yet, when people talk about the Trailblazers, when I say people, I mean like, you know, like the...
Reddit.
Or like TV sports. Whatever. I can't think of the word, but the shit you watch on TV is what I'm trying to say. They will talk about Damian Lillard, but like
Dame time.
He's more like McCollum is more just like anyone else. You know, it's like, oh, and he did it right, and then you know he gets lumped in with the rest.
He's like the clear second fiddle.
He's very clearly second to Damian Lillard, but in the same way that like Kyrie Irving was clearly second to LeBron James when he was on the Cavs, but he's still. And I don't necessarily know if... Well, I do know that CJ McCollum isn't as good as Kyrie Irving, but...
But you're,
know what I'm saying? Like,
you're saying...
When Damian Lillard's playing bad, you should be playing exceptionally. That's, you know, like... They should be working off each other like that.
Right, okay. So you're saying to a degree, like, CJ McCollum is, like, the second man in Portland, but you could see him being a lot more elevated in a different circumstance.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I got, for example, I might as well just throw out something I saw on Twitter. People asked, you know, What would a Chris Middleton and CJ McCollum flip be beneficial for both teams? Chris Middleton is currently averaging, I have to pull up the correct stat because it is phenomenal how he is playing this first round against Boston. And everyone, all right, so Chris Middleton is averaging 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists on 62% from the field and is shooting 63% from 3.
God damn.
So, and I think, personally for me, just
thinking, no, I don't think it would be beneficial for both teams because he's playing better.
Right. I mean, I think it'd be beneficial for the Blazers more than...
Yeah.
Because that's, exactly. That's a guy who plays slightly more defense and then right. kind of, you know, I don't know. Portland's big issue is they have to now pay Nurkic, who's a free agent. They have to pay him max money if they want to keep him. They're paying Evan Turner, you know, $70 million over 4 years or 5 years, which is way overpaid for a guy who gives you, you know, 10 points and 4 rebounds.
Right.
So Portland's in trouble. There's a lot of... I mean, I think they're going to blow it up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking that for... I mean, I used to always say that to you. Like, what choice do they have? They're not performed. It's not working.
Yeah, I mean...
And I'm saying even, like, Lillard and McCollum, like...
Especially
because,
like...
They can't stay there. It doesn't work.
You were able to get hot enough to get the secure the 3 seed.
Yeah.
And then you weren't able to do anything with it. You weren't even able to win a game.
Yeah. I don't know.
To a team that didn't have DeMarcus Cousins.
To the Pelicans, like...
And now,
no disrespect to the Pelicans, especially no disrespect to Anthony Davis, but like, God, you got
to take. I mean, it was to the point. Like, did you see the photo of when Anthony Davis dunked on Nurkic?
Yeah.
And Drew Holiday pointed at him. Like, these guys were out there assassinating the Blazers. The Pelicans had no remorse. They had their beaks and they were just pecking at the flesh of a dead animal. It was crazy. And I'm seeing people on Twitter say the Pelicans could upset the Warriors next round. That's a hot take right now.
Yeah. Hit the brakes. I mean, I get it. They're doing good, but I would not make it public claims like
Curry's not playing in the beginning.
Yeah, well, you
still right. Got a couple he's been
worried about. So
obviously, there's a ton of other playoff series happening right now. The Miami Heat are trailing 3-1 to the Philadelphia 76ers. We have the Rockets and Minnesota Timberwolves at 2-1. The Warriors are gonna. I said Warriors in 5, and goddammit, the Spurs gave me a win. So that series hope is alive. Who else is alive? Wizards have tied the Raptors at 2-2. Apparently, at the end of Game 2, Drake said he's got a broom for you, John Wall. We're going to sweep you. And now John Wall said he can't wait to see Drake because there ain't no fucking broom needed. So John Wall's fired up. Him and Bradley Beal were fantastic. I think Wall had 28 in Game 3 and 31 in Game 4.
They have a very similar dynamic to McCollum and Lillard, and I feel like theirs works. Theirs is exactly what the Trailblazers it should be very... Those teams are really similar.
You want to know what's the difference, I think? Between Wall and Beal versus Lillard and McCollum. Lillard and McCollum, I think, both have the scoring mentality. Whereas for the Wizards, you know, Beal is the scorer and Wall does have a more of a pass first kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. So Wall can be like the kind of the point guard that Lillard isn't.
Yeah, and he can give Beal the better looks and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the one difference. I agree with you. I think they're very, because actually that was ESPN was comparing those two backcourts, saying like, who would you rather have? And I would definitely pick Wall and Beal over Lillard and McCollum every single time.
Every single time.
So obviously. A ton of playoff series we didn't talk about. We wanted to hit those first three things. You can find us on Twitter at Felices Hoops. You can find me on Twitter at KWall Hoops. You can find Mooney on Twitter, even though he doesn't really tweet, at Big Moon Sauce. You can find Nigel on Twitter at Miles_free, because he is free. He's not free. If you want this man, you have to come and get me for him. It will be a buyout war.
Say less.
Find us on OTG at otgbasketball.com. If you want to hear about all the playoff series, check out the NBA outlet. We recap every series. We go through them. We have another podcast dropping for them tomorrow. And that's going to be it for this one. See you later, knuckleheads. Peace.
Bye.
Peace.